Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the historic Hannah House with Brooke Boyer and Bud Kelly. Do you have a theory on that with what Bud was just saying? Why women are so affected by that room and not so much men?
I can't say that just women. I feel like women have been more affected over the years going in that room. But I know of quite a few men that have went in there. One of them actually is a good friend of mine, and he went in there and he immediately walked back out and he didn't tell me why. It was me, him, and my friend Heather. And I asked Josh on the way home. I was like, I noticed you walked out of Mamaw's room whenever I was giving you guys a tour. He was like, I didn't feel like that woman liked me at all. I was like, why would you say that? And Josh isn't, he's not scared. I've taken to him to quite a few investigations with, or, you know, ghost hunts with me, you know, where, you know, we pay and rent these places out and go investigate. But he'd go down in a basement by himself and wouldn't tell anybody. And then I'd go off and find him and he'd be like off in a dark corner and he'd just be like, just hanging out, you know, just whatever. And he said he just did not get a good vibe when he went in there. Not like, you know, she was a bad person or anything, but just like, hey, you're in my space. You need to get it. He just did not get a good vibe when he went in there. So,
and you have to admit though, but the majority kind of what
the majority is women for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that, from what we've gathered about Maria, Mamaw, is that she was a very Catholic woman. She was a very devout Catholic. So, and you know, back in the day, it's a lot different than Catholicism now. You know, they're more inviting with women that have had children out of wedlock and stuff like that. So I think as times have changed, and I do believe that Mamaw's spirit's there. And if so, you know, her seeing how times have changed, I think she expects more out of women than men. Uh-oh. Maybe you know, so she kind of wants to see them do good. I don't know, maybe just like a more protective kind of deal, and she opens up to them more. So she's not as inviting with men as she is with women, so I think that that's why they feel more emotion out of her. And that's just my outlook on it for, you know, Mamaw. As far as Alexander, I have never really felt too much of his presence there. I have a few times and it's been downstairs, like in the, you know, main dining area. It's almost like as soon as you walk in, you can feel like a male presence, and it's not a bad one. It's just, you know, it's his house. So, but throughout the house, I feel more of a woman's presence throughout the house.
Well, I was going to ask you both because, you know, there is the folklore and the legend and some, you never know exactly what happened. And we were talking about the Underground Railroad, and the story was that these slaves were trapped. There was a fire. They smoke inhalation, I think maybe burned to death. So maybe that happened, maybe it didn't happen. But a lot of people say, well, that you can feel their spirits there. What do you guys think? Because you've spent time there. You've talked to a lot of people who've investigated there. Do you think there's any truth to that? Because he might have been helping with the Underground Railroad. There might not have ever been any sort of tragedy on that land. But when you think about the emotions that would have gone with helping those people and the desperation and all of those emotions, even without a tragedy.
I definitely believe that it was a part of the Underground Railroad. And like Bud said, you know, well, we both have mentioned, you know, how there's a lot of stuff from back in the day that hasn't been documented, but it's just a part of the legend of the house. But the fact that he was a birthright Quaker does put him in the category with the rest of them that, you know, he could very about 95% sure he was a part of helping out, you know, slaves during the Underground Railroad. I do believe that there are spirits down there that are slaves. And the reason why I think that is because I was down there with Judy one night, and we were doing an investigation, and it was before I started volunteering there and everything. And we started singing like old songs from back in the day that were sung during the Underground Railroad. And I was kind of like playing it on my phone. And then, you know, I'd like look up lyrics, and then, you know, me and her would start like singing them and stuff like that. And, you know, old Baptist songs and stuff. So we actually started, you know, hearing knocks and stuff like that. And the energy in the room, just like it definitely got thicker. And I believe that spirits, what I've felt like I've gathered from paranormal investigating with, you know, Judy and going to these different places, I feel like when you pass, you know, yeah, sometimes your spirit can, you know, linger on or whatever, but I feel like a lot of spirits, they go back to where they felt, you know, safe, where they felt like home.
Mm-hmm.
And
I eventually fell asleep down there.
The basement is, it's a spooky basement, but it's not.
It's the most peaceful room you can be in. And there was a bench down there, and we was doing a paranormal thing, and I've actually fell asleep on that bench because I was so peaceful.
Yeah, I mean, I've never felt anything down bad in the house at all, aside from the attic, but I mean, we can get into that later. That's just more like just the energy that's up there. I start feeling nauseous, I start getting a headache, but, you know, I think that, like I was saying, I feel like, you know, they go back to where they feel more comfortable, where they felt safe, where they felt like was home. And a lot of these people, you know, did not have a home, you know, mm-hmm. they were slaves mm-hmm. and they were taken from their families. The reason why a lot of people ask me, you know, the reason that I give people when they ask me, you know, well, you said you heard a little girl down there, but we heard men and women died down there. And I'm like, there wasn't just men and women. It wasn't just adults. It was teens. It was babies. There was a lot of people that were sold during slavery mm-hmm. and a lot of people taken away mm-hmm. from their families. And I think that, you know, Alexander, you know, what he did is he gave them comfort. He gave them shelter. He gave them safety. So if, say, something happened along their way trying to escape to freedom, you know, where would they go back? Where they felt most safe. So I think a lot of their spirits ended up, you know, wandering back to the Hannah house. It doesn't go into, you know, the whole fire and all that stuff. I think that there are slaves down there. I don't think it necessarily has anything to do with the fire. I think that it's just they felt safe. They felt like that was home to them. And it's really sad when you think about it, but it also gives you comfort that he took care of them. You know, mm-hmm. he made them feel safe. So
even, okay, to touch up on what Brooke's talking about, even, okay, he actually had servants at his house. Like he had cooks, he had farmhands, and he was like one of the only one. And we're talking about people that used to be a part of slavery. And he took people in and they became like family to him. And, you know, and I'm not 100% on this but I do believe, I think they were even on a payroll.
Oh,
I could be wrong. I could be wrong about that. I don't know. So I'm not, that's not the gospel.
But that's how he treated people.
Correct. Yeah. You know, I mean,
it says a lot about him.
Like all of his farmhands, all of his servants, even his foreman, they were like family to him.
So they were employees. It wasn't like ownership.
Right.
No,
Elizabeth, even after he married Elizabeth Jackson in 1871 and in 1872. And, you know, this says a lot about Elizabeth too, because, you know, as good as he was to his employees, I mean, he married that woman. So it speaks a lot on her character when she was like, we need to build, you know, another servant quarter. So the back side of the house where the back porch is, has a balcony area, and they actually built on another servant quarters on top of the, they ended up building the smokehouse and the milk room, for that. And they built another servant quarters on top of all of that. So, there's actually two pretty decent sized servant quarters, that they built on the property for their workers. So,
you know, I think it's interesting talking to you both about the Hanna House and doing, because I always like to take a deep dive and read up on, you know, whatever we're going to talk about. And it's interesting because you both talk about a place that seems to be rather caring, loving,
yeah,
peaceful. You do have heard some strange things. Brooke has anyway. But one of the things I had read, like, there's the smell of rotting flesh and death and all this, yeah, stuff in this house that sounds so dark.
They make it sound so sinister.
Yeah.
And it's not. Yeah, it's not. Things.
Even when you watch, like, certain YouTube video, which, I mean, a lot of stuff on the internet. I mean, we all know this. It's like a lot of stuff, take it with a grain of salt, you know, until you witness it for yourself. You know, and yeah, I mean, even like the books that were written about haunted places, the stuff you read on the internet about blah, blah, blah. But, you know, but being there and when you read about the history, when you learn about the history, mm-hmm, when you learn about Alexander, it's a very caring, loving, peaceful place, you know, and it's like I said, you know, it's, I've done a million history tours there with a lot of kids being there. And it is just, you know, there's a lot of, and what I love about the history tours and stuff like that is that you get a lot of older people from the Indianapolis area that come there and they would go, you know, we've drove by here 100 times, but never been inside. And that makes me, that warms my heart because I'm like thinking, you know, they came here for the history. They came here because this is one of the most historical places in Indiana. And Indiana is dear to my heart. It always has been, you know what I mean? And like, I'm a born Hoosier and, you know, and I love it. But, you know, so it's like I said earlier, you know, like I've always felt blessed, you know, that, you know, I get to tell, I get to keep the history alive. I get to tell the story. I get to,
you get, you to know, tell, so, their story, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah.
Correct. You know, so yeah, like, and I'm really glad you brought that up, Carol. And I mean, about, oh, well, oh, it's supposed to be one of the most haunted places. Yeah. It's supposed to be that you hear about this, you hear about that. But, you know, but when you go there in person, you kind of like, because a lot of paranormal teams in, okay, let me go ahead and flip the coin. When a lot of paranormal teams will book the house, when they read the story, those stories you just mentioned, and then they come and they get like kind of disappointed.
This might be a good question for you, Brooke, not, because Bud's just more skeptical. That's the reason I'm directing this towards
my bad.
You. No, because I pick up on energy. I always liken it to, you know, if you go to a party and there's that one guy there who's just a jerk and bringing everybody down, like you're feeding off, mm-hmm, that guy's energy. So
it changes the whole energy in the room.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm feeling this vibe.
Yeah.
You know, like,
we've all met that guy. And
oh, yeah.
So it's like, oh, I, yeah, want to get away from him. But I also feel like that, because it's energy and he might be saying stuff you can hear and, you know, you're just getting bad vibes. But I feel like when you go into a location, that you can also pick up on that energy too. And,
yeah,
and it just, to me, it feels like it's more of a loving, caring energy after,
oh,
talking,
yeah,
to the two of you.
And it is a loving energy. And like I said, I mean, you know, like with Mama and Alexander, I mean, you definitely can feel a stronger presence with them, but it's not, I've never felt scared in that house. Have I gotten spooked? Quite a few times. it's nothing that I haven't been able to shake off, you know, and just keep going. I mean, I've been in that house multiple times by myself, and that says a lot for me, because Judy, she'll even tell you, I can be a big chicken.
Me too.
I I'm not afraid to admit it, you know, I mean, because it is scary. I mean, the paranormal is scary. I mean, you can't see a lot of these things. You don't know if anything's going to happen. I mean, I've been to locations where you walk in and you're there all night long, have everything set up. You're doing everything right. You're trying to be, you know, welcoming to, you know, the spirits and you know, trying to feed off the energy, and you just don't get anything all night. And then you can go back to that same location later on and everything happens. So it's either nothing can happen at all or everything can happen. Or, I mean, it may just be like a lighter haunt. And like I was telling you earlier, I mean, there's some nights where it's pretty quiet. But there are some, you know, subtle things that are happening. It's definitely a lighter haunt. But there's been nights where I've been there and it's just, you know, been super active. You know, to the point where you can hear I heard a door shut upstairs one time when I was down in the kitchen. And I thought it was the property manager, and he, like I said, he's, you know, part of the elder family, and I called out his name and he didn't answer. And I was on the phone with the lady because she was booking something for her son for his birthday. And I was like, can you give me just a minute? And, you know, I put down the phone and I put her on hold, and I went, you know, walking through to the dining room, and the whole house was, you know, pitch black. There was no lights on. And I'm like, okay, that was not Paul. That was something else. But I mean, I even heard footsteps. So I thought he was, you know, in the house, and he was not. There's been a lot of stuff I can't explain there, but it's definitely been more welcoming the longer I've been there. You know, we had this guy come in and he did a TikTok live, and he also did, you know, a video for his YouTube channel, and his name's Zach, and you know, really solid guy, really, really sweet. And he said he wasn't getting a whole lot, and asked if I could be a part of it. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And so I ended up, you know, going down to the basement with him, and his equipment started going off. We actually were getting direct answers back on his spirit box. And he was like, see, they're comfortable with you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm here a lot. I think that it's up to the spirits. You know, if they're comfortable with you, they'll come out, and it doesn't matter if it's at nighttime or it's daytime. Hauntings, they'll happen whatever time of the day. So, like I said, I've been there during the day and I've heard things, I've experienced things, and I've been there, you know, wee hours of the night, you know, finishing up last minute stuff and, you know, go to lock up and I start hearing stuff. So I don't think it matters what time of day it is. They're definitely there, but they're very welcoming for sure. If they don't know you, it'll probably take them a minute, but they'll warm up to you.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people, and you mentioned this earlier about two different kinds of paranormal investigators. And I think there are some that are in it for the videos, the thrills, the scare.
Clicks and views.
Yes, exactly. And I just think that if you take that part away, you can get some really, really interesting evidence, and you can have some really interesting experiences that might not be, you know, some demon growling in the corner.
Right. Correct.
Right. It's the fame and the attention. And when me and Bud started, you know, doing the podcast together, I even told him, I was like, you know, I'm excited because this is going to be something fun to do. And that's exactly what, you know, being a paranormal investigator is for me too. And you know, volunteering at the Hannah House and doing the history tours. I mean, I do it because I enjoy doing it. I have fun doing it. I don't know all these, you know, big names, and they don't know me, but the difference between me and them is, you know, and I'm not saying anything bad, but I'm more into having fun. You know, I look at this as more like a hobby. This is their job. You know, they do it. They want the, you know, the views, the subscribers and all that stuff. I don't care about that stuff. I mean, good for them. You know, I'm happy for them, you know, if they're successful and everything, you know, that's great. But
yeah, but define success.
Well, I mean, you know, getting lots of viewers and followers and stuff like that, the stuff that they're trying to do and they're succeeding at it, you know, more power to you. I don't have time to do that stuff, even if I wanted to. But I've always enjoyed going to all these locations. I mean, a lot of these places that you walk into, it's like, man, if I was a fly on the wall back in the day, you know, like, and could experience what actually happened. You know, and like I said, I mean, the history alone, I love history. So hearing a lot of history of these places really fascinates me. So even if it's that night, like I told you, where nothing will happen at all, at least I got to be at a very cool location and learn the history and be a part of sharing that, you know, with, you know, Judy or, you know, whoever I'm with that night, which is mainly Judy, but you know, it's fun. It's really interesting. I've learned a lot. I've experienced a lot. So I've really enjoyed, you know, this journey that I've had being a paranormal investigator and getting into the paranormal field. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun, and I've gained family out of it too. You know, I mean, me and Bud, everybody always says we argue like an old married couple, and I'm like, well, we're like brother and sister though. So
it's more of a brother and sister bickering.
Yeah.
but it's all fun though. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. We have fun.
So Bud, would you say the amount of time that you've spent there, and it's considerable, would you say it's a haunted location? Have you heard enough evidence? Yes. Your personal feeling.
That's a good question.
And you could even, you know, rely on some of like other people's information, like Brooke. And
yeah,
you
know, I mean, you know, it's
like things are happening to some people here, and I can't explain that.
You know, I feel like there's a lot of gray answer to that question.
Hang on. Now, as somebody that used to be a part of the paranormal community, in which I'm not anymore, I don't really have anything to do with the paranormal stuff anymore. I mean, yes, we got the podcast, and yes, I like discussing UFOs and stuff too. So, but to answer that question, when it comes to certain paranormal teams and YouTubers, I take a lot of stuff with a grain of salt. I really do. But when, like I mentioned, talking to Cheryl, okay, and Cheryl's dad, people that has actually lived in the house. Now, hearing their stories, I do believe them. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, even though I'm a skeptic, I do believe what they witnessed. I mean, I do believe they witnessed what they did. I don't say I ever liked the word haunted. I got a different lingo than everybody else, though. You know, I mean, so, but as long as all the years I've been in that house, you know, even like, and I've been there by myself, I've slept there, I've never had one thing ever happen that I would say a ghost is there or ghosts are there. I mean, but you know, but people's had their stories there, you know, so, but as if coming from me, and like I was talking about earlier, is just, I've always had this, maybe it's just because, I mean, yeah, I am a skeptic, But it's just, I just never viewed that house as how everybody else did. You know, it's just, I just have a different outlook. You know, and I mean, maybe it's also because I have always got, always try to have a personal personality, you know, like a really like positive, you know, I just like positive energy, you know, and, but that house, it just always felt, I don't know, like just very comfortable for me. But as of everybody else's stories, I mean, I've never discluded it, or I've never. But
what I think is interesting is that you're also picking up on this very comfortable vibe from the house, which Brooke also picks up on. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's interesting that maybe it is people who just care and they're not there to scare you or anything. They just, you know, they're, 'cause I feel like most places have some kind of energy to them. I don't know what that is, but we've all walked into those places where you just get a bad vibe right off the bat. But this house is really interesting. I want to go now to see if I'm going to fall between where I fall on the line between Bud and Brooke. Where I would like to know what I feel. Now, Bud, I would be happy to take the historical tour with you because I love that.
Welcome there. You are welcome there anytime.
I can't wait to go visit it.
You contact us anytime you want, and if there's ever, you are welcome there at any time.
I would love it.
We would love to have you.
People can book overnight investigations. Do you do like some investigations that are just a couple hours, or most of them, are they overnight?
So as of right now, we actually wanted to start doing like a couple flashlight tours, you know, because right now we just have the tour days that we have is the first Sunday of every month. You know, and it's $8 a person, 12 and under is free. You know, we do cash, Venmo, or PayPal. You know, and we've been getting a lot more. I feel like the last few tour days, we've gotten more and more people. So people are definitely coming for sure. And then I talked to Bud a little while ago, and we actually set a day to do flashlight tours. And, you know, I'm going to get dressed up in an 1800s dress with, you know, the corset, the big poofy skirt and everything. Yeah. So we're going all out, and that's going to be more paranormal related too. Like, we'll do a history tour, but we'll also include a lot of, you know, the paranormal stories and stuff like that. We also have Easter egg hunt that's coming up. And then we're also going to do, in December, we are going to do a Victorian Christmas, which I think would be a lot of fun. We want to get families in there too. We don't want it just paranormal related, you know.
Right.
We started opening up because the old property manager only made Saturdays the only day available for overnights. We do have Fridays and Saturdays listed now instead of just Saturdays. But there's some people that can't do it Friday and Saturday, and we are always there to negotiate. We understand that those days may not work for everybody. And if me and Bud are available, or the property manager now, Paul, if he's available, you know, we can try to work something out for you. You know, it's $500 for the night. It's 7 to 5 in the morning. They have the whole house, the property, everything, you know, so you can have it for the evening. There's usually one of us there, but we usually have our earbuds in and we're doing something in the kitchen. So we are out of sight, out of mind. There are some people that have started asking us, you know, for, you know, like day hunts, you know, they just want to come for a couple hours during the day. You can rent the house out anytime you want, really, for any event. So weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, parties, whatever, or just an event. If you want to host your own event, you know, it's $150 an hour to book for the events. So if you want to come and do your own, you know, just like hang out at the house for a few hours and do your own thing, you don't have to pay the $500. You could just pay, you know, the $150 an hour. So really, it's available for whatever you want, just as long as it's, you know, within reason. So, but yeah, I mean, we have it booked for everything now. So it's been fun. You know, me and Bud are really trying to help out the family and help out the property, you know, and turn things around and, you know, get it back to where it was at one point, you know.
Well, exactly. And that money goes back into
every
the house.
Dime. Yeah. Every dime goes
There's a
to
lot
the
of restoration
house.
And upkeep needs a yeah. house that I mean, age.
Me and Bud do it because we enjoy doing it. You know, we're volunteer workers. We don't get paid and we don't expect to either, you know, because we enjoy, we want to see this house succeed. We want people to hear the history of the house. We want people to come and visit the house, you know, we want that, but, it's been rough the last few years, but things are really starting to turn around for the house for sure.
Good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
And then you guys' podcast is Paranormal Vantage Point.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And you said YouTube and iHeart, you can listen to it there.
Uh-huh.
And then if you want more information on the house, it's historichannahmansion.com.
Yes.
You know, thank you guys so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I so
thank
appreciate
you for inviting
it.
Us.
Thank you for asking us. Thank you for having us on. I love this.
That wraps up our conversation about the historic Hannah House. For more information about the mansion tours and investigations, you can visit their website at historichannahmansion.com or search Historic Hannah House on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes without the commercials, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. Or you can go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.